looking for a moonshine still. Strangers ain't come down from
SwainEvent20event.com. Fuel by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. 865-255-03 is our telephone number to the B Dry Waterproofing Hotline. It is Friday, best day of the week. You made it. You made it. You made it to Friday. Ben McKee, Jason Swain here with you. Broadcasting live from the Low T Center Studios. And man, we already rocking and rolling on the B Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Let's get to our good friend, Mr. Seth Stokes, to start the swinging event. Stokes, good morning.
Good morning, my friend.
How you doing, buddy?
Well, I'm great, brother. How you doing?
Good, man. Good. A lot of things moving in the SEC. Good time to bring you on today. Comments made by quarterback coach of Jerry Garantano, Tony Recipiope. There we go. Recipiope trains Jared there in New Jersey, and Recipiope is a former NFL quarterback. He trains other NFL quarterbacks, and Jared's been spending time with him. Well, the other station in town, the mothership station, interviewed Mr. Recipiope and talked a little bit about what Jared has improved on and possibly what we will see in the 2019 season. All mechanical things, but with the addition of Jim Chaney, with the wide receivers getting 1 year older, with the tight ends getting 1 year older, running backs getting 1 year older, offensive line, you're getting guys healthy, developing the offensive line, bringing in two talented freshmen. Jared should improve just by default, but it's clear that Jared has a plan or a goal. And I love it. His goal is to go to the NFL after this year, it looks like.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it looks like. And Seth, as a Tennessee fan, how do you feel about that?
It's a double-edged sword. You know, if he leaves the NFL after this year and gets drafted early, that's great for Tennessee for recruiting. Tennessee needs draft people to start getting drafted, and it's good for his brand. And at the end of the day, you know, as a Tennessee fan, I want what's best for Tennessee. But also, these kids invest a lot of time in themselves and in Tennessee, and you want to see them have success once they leave. And so I think it's a brilliant move on his part. You know, if this season doesn't go how it needs to go for him, I hope he does make the right decision and stay for one more year of development. But, you know, if he has a great season this year, I'm all for guys leaving early because that helps recruiting. When you can put guys into the league, it's good for the guys to go ahead and get that paycheck. I mean, they're putting their bodies on the line for, you know, a scholarship right now for some free classes and a little bit of gear that they get. Like, they're not getting any real money right now. And so I think it's fantastic. And, you know, if he feels that he's improved enough to get to that point, then that should help Tennessee this year. So, it's a win-win either way.
Ben, your thoughts on Jarrett's plan, and it's clear. I like it, but it's pretty clear that he is laser focused on this being his last year at Tennessee, putting himself in a position to go to the NFL. What is your thoughts on that?
I love it. I don't want a single player on Tennessee's roster not to have this mindset. I even want the walk-ons to have this mindset. I want every player that signs with Tennessee to have a three-year plan and not plan on playing a fourth year at Tennessee. The ultimate goal should be to play in the NFL. So this is exactly how I want my quarterback thinking, my running backs, my wide receivers, every single person on that football team should have this mindset. So I love it.
I think anytime you're in a relationship, the best thing that you can do for a relationship, it doesn't matter if it's a friend or it is a significant other, it doesn't matter what type of relationship it is, but the best thing that can happen for a relationship is you, the person in the mirror, working on yourself and being the best that you can be. Mm-hmm. Now, I like to be around people that number one, love themselves first. It takes care of themselves first. Because if you don't take care of yourself, if you don't love yourself, if you don't value yourself, then how can you value and love anyone else the right way? Now, there are some people that they truly just don't care about themselves and they care about other people more than themselves. And that's possible too. But in Jared's case, man, I want someone that first and foremost, they're trying to be the best person they can be. That's not selfish. That's actually unselfish because you help the team when you work on yourself first. Now, Stokes, I know it wasn't until like after you were 30 that you finally got on an airplane.
Right.
This was, 2015?
It was 2015 when Tennessee went to the Outback Bowl. I flew down to Tampa.
And that was the first time.
First time, yep.
First time getting on the flight. Do you remember a lot of things from that flight, Stokes?
Yeah. I remember, the flights were super short. I left from Charlotte, had a connecting flight in Atlanta. That was like an hour and 10 minutes at that, you know, if even that long, from Charlotte to Atlanta. And then from Atlanta to Tampa was like, I want to say 2.5 hours maybe. And so I read and had a conversation with the gentleman next to me on one of the flights and looked out the window a little bit because I had a window seat on the first one.
So. Do you remember anything about what was said before you took off from the flight attendant or the pilot? Do you remember anything that was said?
There was some rules and regulations and all that jibber jabber stuff, but no, not really.
So you were sipping on some spirits? Is that what was going on?
Yeah, I mean, I'd had an adult beverage or two before I got on the airplane.
I asked you all this to say, before you take off, the flight attendant or it is a, you know, pre-recorded message, it tells you to secure your seatbelt, and in case of emergency, you save yourself first, right?
Protect yourself. Yes.
Yeah, like you make sure that you are good first before you try to help someone else.
Correct.
Well, same thing here with Jerry Garantano training. Same thing with any player. Like you gotta make sure you are right first. You have to train. Your mentality needs to be on point. You need to have that I'm trying to go to the league mentality. That's what Gerard Mayo had. That's what Jason Allen had. That's what Omar Gaither had. And guess what they did by default? They helped the team by default because they're being the best version of themselves that they could possibly be. So I'm with you guys. I love a player that has a laser focus, that has a clear target, and each and every day he's aiming at that target. Because like sometimes you get off track as a student athlete when you are coming here to play football, you say, man, I want to go to the NFL. But everyone they don't aim at the target every single day. Mm-hmm. Jason Allen aimed at the target every single day. Jerod Mayo aimed at that target every single day. Every single day. Those guys were aiming at that target. And so I hope Jared works well enough to put himself in a position to be mentioned with Tua Tagovailoa, Jake Fromm after this season. I hope he is listed as one of the top five or six quarterbacks in this year's NFL draft. Now, it's a thick class now. This is not the best time to come out. It's not the best time for Jared. But, man, it doesn't matter. It's the work.
If you handle your business,
exactly,
they'll find you.
Yeah, handle your business, win games. It'll work yourself out if you continue to get better each and every day.
A little counterpoint to that, just to play devil's advocate a little bit. You know, you do want people that have that goal and they're bettering themselves so they can achieve that goal, that NFL dream. But there's a balancing act of looking out for number one and making sure you're taken care of and you're reaching that goal without it affecting the team goals.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are times when players start doing for them a little too much,
mm-hmm,
freestyling a little too much, and it negatively affects the team.
Yep.
So, like Ben said, he wants a whole group of guys in there with a 3-year plan. Yes, but they better be working towards a championship in that 3-year plan as well, mm-hmm, or else they're, you know, bad things can happen.
Yeah. On during the 3-year plan, I think being a good teammate is important. And what I mean by being a good teammate is learning about your teammates, finding out what drives your teammates too. Like, one thing that I do when it comes to, like, you know, coaching my daughter, which is really, really hard to do for a parent, is at the beginning of kind of like that relationship, that coach-daughter relationship, daddy-coach-daughter relationship, is I sat down and I said, hey, you know, what are your goals? What do you want to do? It's not what daddy wants to do. It's what you want to do. What do you want to do? And then she told me her goals. Okay, this is what I want to do, daddy. This is what I want to do in basketball. It's okay. All right, this is what you want to do. Okay, what are you willing to do to get that? Okay, dad, I'm willing to do this to get that. Okay, cool. All right. What do you think it's going to take for you to reach your goal? Okay, this is what I think it's going to take for me to reach my goal. Okay, cool. All right. Okay, so now, are you ready for me to tell you what I think it's going to take for you to get there? Yeah, daddy, I'm ready. So now, I have made her tell me her reason why. Okay? So now when there's a day where she may come up a little bit short, because, you know, again, life is hard, right? We're consistent at being inconsistent. We need workout partners. We need, you know, positive people in our lives to remind us and push us. And sometimes it's hard. Like, so when days when maybe she don't feel like it, guess what I do? I just bring up those reasons why. So, hey, remember this day you said you wouldn't do this? Remember you said that, yeah, you was okay, that it doesn't take hard work to get to this goal? So now it's not me so much pushing my goals and dreams on her. It's just me simply telling you what you said. Well, part of being a leader on a football team is gathering that information about your teammates. So when you're talking to your teammates and Billy from Mississippi, you're sitting down, training table, you're having a conversation, and then he starts telling you, man, why he's here. Like, what's his reason why? Why does he want to play at the next level? And then he mentions that he has a son or a daughter. Or he mentions that, you know, his grandmother raised him and he wants to take care of his grandmother. Or he has a family member in a different part of the country and he wants to be able to financially take care of them. when Billy has a bad day in practice, if Billy's not giving effort, you have built a personal relationship with him so much that guess what you can do? You can bring up those reason whys, and Billy snaps out of it. Oh, man. You can bring up those reasons why. Hey, Billy, man, remember you said you wanted to do this because your mom or your dad or your sister or your friends. That is the stuff that goes on in the team that people don't really know about. They don't factor that in. Yeah, you can work hard and grind and do all that stuff to get better. Yes, that's cool, but to win games, you gotta have more of those conversations. It was easy for me. Meacham was a roommate of mine. Jonathan Way was a good friend of mine. I knew those guys' goals. I knew Meacham's background from Tusk, Oklahoma. I knew Jonathan Way's background from Shreveport, Louisiana. So when one of us would call the other at 7 p.m. when clearly we're done for the day, they go, "Hey man, you want to go watch some film?" And you're like, "I don't know." "Oh, remember you said you want to go to the NFL? All right, I'll meet you at seven complex." So you can use someone's reason why, man, to keep them focused. And that's something that Jared, you're not gonna learn that with your quarterback coach, unless he's telling you, "Hey man, go spend time with your teammates. Go learn about them. Go spend time." But when you work on yourself first, man, you're actually being really, really unselfish. But yeah, everything has a limit. You can't get out of hand with only thinking about yourself. You can't have a Kelly Washington type of mentality. It can't just be about you and no one else. And those are stories that was told to me. More than one store consistently with different people. You can't be like that. But Jared is working on himself first. If everyone worked on themselves the way Jared is working on themselves and getting to know each other, being unselfish teammates, buying into the coaches, working hard, being tough, all those things, man, Tennessee can do some damage this year. What does that even mean, though? Do some damage. That's me shying away from a number. That's me shying away from a win total. Yeah, man, Tennessee can do some damage. What does damage even mean?
8 games in the regular season.
They can get somewhere close to there. Yeah, how about that? 865-255-03. We got Seth Stokes on the B-Drive Waterproofing Hotline. Stay with us.
You don't have to take an L just because you can't listen to the Swain event live. You can catch up on the podcast posted daily on the app, online, and on iTunes.
Top 100 barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue is the best place in Knoxville to get your happy hour barbecue fix. With new specials and a new menu, there is something for everyone. Dead End Barbecue is offering new happy hour small plate specials starting at just $4. Come in Monday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. and enjoy shrimp po' boy sliders, taco bites, barbecue shrimp cocktail, bologna pups, or deviled eggs. Also, enjoy $1 off draft beer and premium pours. Dead End Barbecue, the happy hour search is over.
While the other guys are taking guesses, the Swain event is taking you behind the scenes and in the huddle every morning from 7 till 10 right here.
As summer selling season heats up, here are 3 home features buyers are loving. Borrow a few or all of these to potentially up the appeal and value of your home. Number 1. Get back to basics. Never underestimate the power of a nice walkway, quality mulch, some flowering shrubs, and a couple of nice planters. Number 2, embrace a new neutral. While beige and white are classic, new neutrals are trending. Opt for soft grays, or you can even try a neutral blue. Number 3, open space is all the rage. Home buyers are still on the hunt for open concept floor plans. Even if your rooms are enclosed, mirrors and ample natural light can help open up your space. Whether you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate, you need a professional that will be by your side every step of the way. Call me, Jennifer Morris, with Keller Williams Realty at 865-694-5904 or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com.
You're driving home, flashing blue lights in your rearview mirror. You pull over, step out of your car, and the next thing you know, you're being arrested for driving under the influence. Now, what do you do? We all should be responsible. But remember, just because you're arrested doesn't mean you're guilty. Call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza at 865-540-8300. The investigative teams at the Garza Law Firm know the justice system inside and out. They utilize cutting-edge technologies and investigative methods to prepare your specific case. Before you plead guilty to any criminal charges, call criminal defense and DUI attorney Marcos Garza. Put his number in your phone right now, 865-540-8300, because you never know when you or a friend will need it. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. 865-540-8300. 865-540-8300 and GarzaLaw.com.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
And you know this, man.
We got our good friend Seth Stokes on the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. 865-255-03 is our telephone number. I got to tell you what Mr. Tony Recipope said when he talked to the station down the road here in Knoxville. This is very important for Tennessee fans. He says, quote, "I think number one, his footwork definitely a little cleaner. His throwing sequence is a lot cleaner. He's doing a much better job of closing his shoulder when he is stepping, which, you know, lets his hips be our main power source and lets our elbow get up so we're more consistent and accurate with the ball. And the second thing, honestly, I see this all the time with scholarship kids. They all have strong arms. That's why they're scholarship kids. You know, Tennessee's not going to offer a kid that can't throw the ball hard, but as they get older, they learn how to throw the ball, how to layer the ball over people, like secondary throws, like digs and curls and deep over routes. It's how to be a passer. Like I said, he could throw with anybody, but it's the ability to throw the ball kind of with a little touch and the ability to get the ball to people, leading people and throwing the ball to spots, and throwing the ball to spots, on time." He's gotten much better at that. People turning in, it's replaying. No, it's just me, man. I'm over here just doing some lunch table, fifth grade lunch table raps over here. That's all I'm doing.
You forgot the beat, though.
Yeah, I don't want to break anything in here, man. Yeah, school.
But you can't really do beats on a lunch table if you don't have a pencil or a pen.
You got hands, don't you?
Yeah, but me and my buddies, we always use pencils. At least in my day, we use pencils.
There's nothing like beat session at the lunch table, man, back in the day.
Nothing
like it. There's nothing like it. Nothing like it. But these quotes, man, these quotes are spot on. It's not like anyone's going to say, I don't agree with a former NFL quarterback who's training Jared. No one's going to say that anyways.
Somebody will.
I don't know anybody that would. But these quotes are spot on for me more at the end. Yeah, that sounds good about him closing his shoulder and all that. Whatever, man. I don't play quarterback. That stuff, that's quarterback lingo. The quote at the end is what I have been saying for the last 2 years for Jared and what he needs to improve on. And it's simply throwing the ball with touch and the ability to get the ball to people and leading people, throwing the ball to a spot on time.
Yes.
That's where, for me, it's important for Jared. See, Jared doesn't have the luxury of having receivers like Tua Tagovailoa, because Tua can throw the ball slightly behind his receivers. And because those receivers are so fast and so quick, their separation versus the DB is going to be much greater. So Tua can be a tad bit late. The receiver can catch the ball and still go score a touchdown because they're that special. Jarrett's receivers, they're not like that. The ball has to be on time. The ball has to be out in front to give guys like Marquez Callaway, Juwan Jennings, Josh Palmer ability to get yards after the catch. So, yeah, Tua's going to look a whole lot better than Jared. Tua's a little bit better, for sure. But Tua's receivers are more dynamic. Throwing the ball with anticipation. Throwing the ball knowing that it's my guy or no one. Keeping the ball in bounds on 50-50 balls.
Yeah.
Throwing through windows, whether it is dig routes or curl routes or slant routes, that's the next level of Jared's game. And he can do it. I mean, the dude can throw the football hard and far. He has a great arm. Throwing through windows. That's the quote to stand out to me, guys. 865-255-03, beat, drop, waterproofing hotline.
When I thought the quote about making sure his shoulder wasn't flying open stood out to me the most, too, because Jared does throw a pretty deep ball, but I think more often than it should, for somebody as capable as he is, he doesn't lead the wide receiver on a deep ball enough. And the quarterback coach mentions that he needs to let his hips be the main power source, mm-hmm. And that lets our elbow get up so we're more consistent and more accurate with the ball. And so if that power can really form through his hips, theoretically he should not be – you know, the wide receiver should not be coming back to catch the football. Jarrett should be able to lead that receiver, Juwan, Callaway, Palmer, on those deep balls more often now.
I don't know if there's a wide receiver that's going to really outrun Jarrett's arm. I don't think Jarrett's going to have enough time in the pocket for a wide receiver to outrun his arm either, unless it is, you know, Jerod Means is a true freshman, or maybe Josh Palmer when he is 100% healthy and he has off coverage and he can just scream off the line of scrimmage, get a free release. But when's the last time we saw Jared like have someone outrun his arm?
You hit on it right there, talking about not going to have a lot of time to have guys outrun his arm. And that reading or hearing what Rasiopi, or however you say it, last thing said, is encouraging, but I want to see him with those good mechanics, with some good patience in the pocket, under duress in a game.
Yeah. I mean, and
that's a big thing, because he does get hit a lot, and he gets those happy feet going, and he does hurry some throws because he's about to get, you know, about to get demolished. And to his credit, he stands in the pocket for the most part and takes some big hits. But that's when his mechanics start to break down. And it's understandable. But to take that next step, he's going to have that patience under pressure to maintain those good mechanics, to continue to make those good throws, even when he's, you know, there's a D end in his face.
I mean, when you look at Jared's NFL, you know, his NFL future. Guys like Tua, he's not going to have 5 seconds in the pocket in the NFL like he did at Alabama. And I'm pretty sure when he gets to the NFL, he's going to have to speed up his clock a whole lot.
And that is why people are questioning him and comparing him to Jake Fromm.
Yeah. Because you got to process information quick, fast. You got to, okay, here's one. But get off one right quick because he's not open. Get the two. Get the three. You got to go fast because now we understand the talent at defensive end. You don't have 5 seconds. Man, at Alabama, there was times when, like, man, Tua would have 5 or 6 seconds in the pocket. The LSU game?
The Tennessee game.
I was like, man, this dude is looking through every progression twice.
And then look what happened when they played Clemson in the national championship.
Exactly.
And that NFL defensive line got a hold of him.
That's more realistic.
Yes.
Being able to move in the pocket, sidestep defenders, and throw using different platforms. What I mean, sometimes you see, you know, quarterbacks, they may go, you know, 3/4 of a throw, or they may go totally over the top. We've seen Patrick Mahomes throw underhand. So you have to throw, you know, different platforms. And so Jared may be more prepared to deal with the NFL pocket more than anybody because he's had to deal with running backs not carrying out blocking assignments, tight ends not carrying out blocking assignments, offensive linemen not carrying out blocking assignments, and that reflects on their coaches first and foremost. I mean, it reflects on them. You know, Will Friend and you know, Niedermeyer and at the time it was Chris Winkie. It reflects on them. Not saying that it's totally the coach's fault, but it does reflect on them. Anytime a player does something good or bad, it reflects on the coach. So got to make sure that's cleaned up and make sure guys know exactly what they're doing. And that is Jim Chaney's ultimate job, is to have the communication so clean and so thorough that our coaches know exactly what we're doing, and the players know exactly what we're doing, so there's no miscommunication. Guys are not stepping the wrong way. Guys are not going, oops. And then you see your boy Jared getting demolished.
And I thought that the Auburn game was a great example of Jared being able to hang in there and make great throws. I mean, he put on a clinic of making great throws under pressure. Now he needs to do it on a game-by-game basis, do it more consistently.
No doubt. No doubt about it, man. No doubt about it. It's cool to see Jared on the front of different magazines, too.
Yeah, it is.
Like, you go to the store and not that store, Stokes. Not that store. I'm talking about the grocery store.
Oh, okay.
The grocery store. You go to the grocery store and you see these sports magazines. Mm-hmm. And you see Jared Gantano right in front of him, man. It's pretty cool to see. It's really cool to see Tennessee guys get that recognition on the front of these SEC previews, because we understand there's a lot of talented quarterbacks in this conference, and to see Jared get that attention. But let you know that the people outside of the Tennessee bubble, they respect Jared. And that's good to see, man. Yep. Good to see. 865-255-03. Stay with us.
While the other guys are taking guesses, the Swain event is taking you behind the scenes and in the huddle every morning from 7 till 10 right here.
We're here with Dr. Mike Carlson of Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine. If you have orthopedic injuries such as shoulder pain, knee pain, or instability, Achilles tendonitis, golfers, or tennis elbow, do what I did and give them a call.
Yeah, Jason, we specialize in regenerative non-surgical orthopedics. So we treat damaged ligaments, tendons, and joints, including things like rotator cuff injuries, knee instability, elbow problems, as well as foot problems like plantar fasciitis, Achilles, things of that nature, by injecting with stem cells in what's called PRP, or platelet-rich plasma. And this form of treatment we do under ultrasound, so we know we have our target. And it also stimulates the body's own reparative process, and this allows for the healing of damaged tissue. And as you well know, I mean, numerous professional and collegiate athletes, guys like Steph Curry, Tiger Woods, and even yourself with your ankle injury, have been using this form of treatment for years. And so we offer that same type of treatment here in East Tennessee.
Visit them on the web at trsportsmedicine.com. Tennessee Regenerative Sports Medicine, East Tennessee's leader in regenerative therapy.
Top 100 Barbecue restaurant Dead End Barbecue is the best place in Knoxville to get your happy hour barbecue fix. With new specials and a new menu, there is something for everyone. Dead End Barbecue is offering new happy hour small plate specials starting at just $4. Come in Monday through Friday from 2 to 6 p.m. and enjoy shrimp po' boy sliders, taco bites, barbecue shrimp cocktail, bologna pups, or deviled eggs. Also, enjoy a dollar off draft beer and premium pours. Dead End Barbecue, the happy hour search is over.
We have all made the mistake of dropping or breaking our smartphones. See? But did you know that you can have it repaired for a fraction of the cost that it takes to replace it? Well, you can, because iDrop is the area's leading mobile repair store, home of the 1 hour or less phone repair, 1 year parts warranty, and number one customer service. Broken screens, cracked cameras, charging ports, batteries, you break it, we'll fix it. If you didn't break your phone, protect it with one of our leading accessories such as LifeProof, OtterBox, UAG, Incipico, Caseology, and Spec. Visit our West Hills location at 7115 Kingston Pike between Office Depot and Hardee's, or call 865-888-9740 and speak with our trained technicians to see how we can get your phone working today.
As summer selling season heats up, here are three home features buyers are loving. Borrow a few or all of these to potentially up the appeal and value of your home. Number one, get back to basics. Never underestimate the power of a nice walkway, quality mulch, some flowering shrubs, and a couple of nice planters. Number two, embrace a new neutral. While beige and white are classic, new neutrals are trending. Opt for soft grays, or you can even try a neutral blue. Number three, open space is all the rage. Home buyers are still on the hunt for open concept floor plans. Even if your rooms are enclosed, mirrors and ample natural light can help open up your space. Whether you're looking to buy, sell, or invest in real estate, you need a professional that will be by your side every step of the way. Call me, Jennifer Morris, with Keller Williams Realty at 865-694-5904 or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com.
When you see the happy face on our truck, yeah, you'll be smiling because you'll know that you're in love. Yeah,
it's freezing in here, Mary. What's wrong with your heater?
The repairman can't get here till next week.
Sugar, you've got the wrong guy. My guy is fast and has free heating service calls when he does the repair.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Hiller. Take advantage of a free service call with any repair.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
If you aren't following the Swain Event on Twitter, then are you even on Twitter? Hit that follow button. It's the right thing to do.
Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Hour one here on the show is brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. We got our man Seth Stokes on the B-Dry Waterproofing Hotline. Ben McKee, Jason Swain here with you. About 7:43 on a Friday. I want to get Stokes' take. I want to get Ben. I want to get your take. Y'all remember the former Western Michigan coach, P.J. Fleck?
Yes, Mini Butch.
Row the boat. And all kind of other words that he would say and phrases that he would say that you got to Google.
Oh, yeah.
What did he just say? Oh, that's what that means. Okay. During a caravan stop, you know, they do those in Minnesota. We don't do those anymore. Coach's caravan stop in
Summer Smoke.
Hashtag Summer Smoking. Delwood. Fleck gave a little insight into his recruiting. Quote, "I have a rule. You commit to me, you can't go see another place. Not because I'm insecure, but if you want to be committed, you're going to be committed."
All right, Paul Johnson.
Too many people teach young people to be committed, but also one foot in and one foot out. You got to be all in. We have a problem in our society. We don't have a problem in our program. Well, Yahoo got a hold of these quotes, and was like, whoa, wait a minute, PJ. Didn't you sign a 6-year deal for with Western Michigan in 2014, only to leave a little bit after that? And didn't you, Mr. Fleck, have 6 players decommit from Western Michigan to follow you to Minnesota? Your thoughts, Stokes and Ben.
It's easy to say, to make those comments that he made when it's not, you know, like when he's not directly involved as far as him having to make a decision to stay or go, and it affecting his family, it affecting his future. Easy to say that when you're dealing with somebody else's future. It's a totally different thing when it comes to you, which is wrong. If you're going to get up there and say these things, you better be living this thing. Or else it's just lip service. And people make the argument, oh, well, he's a coach. It's different. You know, you're going to take a better job if offered, if it's the right fit, blah, 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 blah. And I get all that. But if that's the case, don't stand up there and talk about commitment and talk about, well, if you've committed to a school, you better not be taking visits to other schools and talking to other schools. Because that's what you did. You committed to Western Michigan, but then you took a visit to Minnesota.
And left.
And left. And took players with you.
Yeah, which one is worse, the fact that he left?
The fact that he took players with him. Because yeah. by his words there, the players he took that decommitted from Western Michigan and went to Minnesota with him are doing exactly what he says you shouldn't do. And by him allowing that to happen, he's painting himself to be a hypocrite.
Yeah.
Doesn't Dabo have the same policy?
Yes.
So the first thing that stood out to me is funny, when it comes from different coaches, it's okay. If Dabo says this, nobody really bats an eye at him. Now, I'm not saying that these comments are okay, because I agree with Stokes. I think he looks like a hypocrite in this situation. And I think that if you're going to make these type of comments, then maybe you shouldn't recruit committed players to other schools.
Yeah, that's the thing. And that's what separates Dabo's policy from P.J. Fleck. Dabo has not left Clemson to go anywhere to even have an opportunity to basically take committed players at Clemson to his new place. So if you have that policy, okay, if you commit to us, you can't take another visit. Does that mean you're not recruiting, like you're not recruiting committed players too?
No. Because other schools might not have that policy. So who are you to not take advantage of it?
Growing up, my dad always told me, and he just texted me and said the same exact thing. My dad always told me growing up, when I played baseball, you lead by example. This is not leading by example.
It just doesn't make sense, and rarely do, you know, guys like us, radio, media, print guys, like, just call these coaches to the carpet. It's hypocritical. Now, I know Dabo totally lives by the, okay, if you commit to us, we're not going to recruit another wide receiver. Like, I saw that with my own two eyes with Amari. When Amari committed to Clemson, like, it was done. They were not going to recruit another wide receiver. Amari was not going to take another visit. Like, it was done. It was done. My question is, as a coach, when you say, okay, if you commit to us, we commit to you, boom, we're not going to go out there and recruit anybody else. But are you recruiting committed players?
I mean, it's obvious that Clemson is.
I don't understand how you separate one from the other. But I guess even the thugs and the gangsters have a little bit of a code. Like, hey, I'll beat you up and take your money, but I still open the door for old people. Like, they still have a little bit of morals and values, right? It's like, yeah, I'll rob a bank, but man, I would never say a bad word to someone. I mean, it's just weird how they are able to make things make sense to them and not cross a particular line, but cross another line. It's just weird to me.
It would be very difficult to, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong based on what they say, but it would be very difficult for a program to have the success that a Clemson has had without recruiting some committed players. Like, just because, you know, we all know this, but a player commits in May, his recruitment's not over unless the player wants it to be over.
Yeah,
it's just weird to, you know, to hear a coach say, once you commit to us, don't look around, but if you commit somewhere else, we'll still talk to you. Like, that's, I don't I'm with you. Like, I don't get, like, it's weird to read that and to know that that's what happens, that, I guess, with PJ Fleck there in Minnesota, with Dabo at Clemson. Like, we're still going to recruit you if you're committed to Tennessee, but if you flip and commit to Clemson, you got to shut it down.
Yeah, we do agree that PJ Fleck is not winning 10 games in Minnesota.
No.
Like it ain't going to happen. Like,
no.
With these rules and regulations that he has in recruiting, there's no way that he's winning more than 10 games in Minnesota.
He's going to row that boat right around in a little circle right there in his little coat. That's all he can do.
Because I remember when Brett Bielema tried to pull this little move when Urban Meyer hit the Big Ten.
Gentleman's agreement.
Yeah, gentleman's agreement. Man, please.
The only coach that I have known not to recruit committed players is Konzo Martin. Wasn't that Konzo's policy, that he would not recruit committed players to other schools?
I'm not sure.
I don't remember.
I think that was a thing. I may be wrong, but I believe that was a thing.
I mean, that's tough to do, man. There's no way that Tennessee football could do that.
No.
There's no way. There's no way we can get away with doing that.
Is there a school in the country that can get away with doing that?
No.
Is there a school that could say, all right, we're not going to recruit committed players?
I think the only two that may be able to get away with it is Clemson and Alabama, and that is because Clemson is over here turning down five stars, which means there are plenty of options for them, and I think there are plenty of options for Alabama as well.
Clemson's got to that point by recruiting committed players.
Absolutely.
I mean, they could do that if they got commitments from guys really early in the process. I think those two schools are in a place to where they could tell a really highly rated player, hey, we're taking commitments earlier than everyone else because we don't want people to move. They have the cachet to be able to say that because they have won championships and they put guys in the NFL. Like, you can't make demands if you ain't, like, for instance, lady, if you were 10, you can make demands. Yeah, like, I need you to pick me up at this time, and you need to hold the door for me, and you better have you paying for the dinner, and you doing all these things. But if you a two, you better take what you can get. All right, and that goes for both sides, man and female. You better just take what you can get.
Yep.
Yeah, you better just take this regular salad and be happy. You better take this burger with no cheese on it and be happy that this person was willing to split the bill with you 50%.
Well, it's like the homeless person example that you always give. If you're homeless and somebody's offering you food, you're probably not in the best situation to be complaining about what food they bring you.
Yeah, like that. Clemson and Alabama, they are in a position where they can walk in and go, hey, man, you got 24 hours to accept this commitment or we moving on. Or accept this offer and commit to us or we're moving on. Like, they're in a different spot. So I know one thing for Tennessee. What does Tennessee do? What Tennessee
recruit everybody.
Everybody. Offer everybody.
Which they are.
Offer and recruit everybody. You are in that position right now. You have to
And
be.
Once they commit, keep recruiting them.
That's where we are right now. You can't worry about, you know, the word commitment, you know, you look it up in the dictionary and you compare it to a marriage or you compare it to, you know, military. It just doesn't line up. You can't do that. You can't worry about that because you are in no position to try to do recruiting, college football recruiting, the same way that Clemson does it or the same way that PJ Fleck does it. You can't do that. I was listening to Basilio's show a couple days ago. It wasn't Basilio, it was someone else. And it was a really good conversation. Coach Atkins from Marshall, offensive line coach, recruiting coordinator, used to coach here at Tennessee offensive line. And they just got a player from Catholic High School to commit a couple days ago. And, you know, Coach Atkins was on there talking about just that, you know, recruiting and you know, how different it is now than what it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And the host of the show was asking, you know, Greg just about, because it didn't sound like he was a big fan of the whole committing and decommitting. He was like, listen, how about we make it to where if you commit, like you got to stick. And you know, Greg wasn't trying to go there at all because he understands just how messy the recruiting game is with kids committing and decommitting and things like that. But where Tennessee is they can't just offer kids, accept their commitment without them coming to camp, because that's what got us in trouble in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You have to take kids you know can play at this level, without a doubt. And the only way to see that is either you have to go to them, which you're going to watch them play against Timmy and Jimmy at his high school. That's a waste of time. You have to go see them compete at camps, which coaches can do that. The next best option is you have to get them on your camp along with other really good players and create some type of competition, an environment of competition, and see how they thrive or dive in that environment. And then you yourself put a watch on a player and see how fast a guy really is. No more, yeah, man, you know, yeah, he timed about a 4.2. 40. Mm-hmm. Grandpa was timing him. Grandpa timed him. No, we can't do that. You got to come to camp. We got to put these eyes on you. But Tennessee is in a position where they can't push their weight around. They can't say, "Yo, you got to come to camp to get an offer." No, you kind of got to give them an offer to get them to come to camp. And that stinks. But that's how it is right now. That's where we are. You got to give an offer to get them to come to camp. So it's like levels of offers. It's like, hey, we're going to give you a camp offer, but an offer. So now that's why we get into the weeds about committable offers and non-committable offers. Because it's just a camp offer. It's an offer, but we still want to see you. All the kids want to do is be able to tweet, "Yo, blessed to say that I have received my 77th offer." And then tag some old photos of that school they got from Google. So they showing Alvin Kamara the knee brace. They showing Peyton Manning back when Tennessee had Nikes the first time. They just want to be able to tweet and put those photos in there. That's all they want to do. So you're giving them what they want, and schools are getting what they want, which is, okay, I'll come to camp. It's where we are right now. My man Stokes. Friday.
Yes.
You got a job. You got things to do.
Yep. That's all facts, brother. All facts.
My good friend, thank you so much for your time, man. I enjoyed it.
Yes, sir. I'll see you next week.
See you next week. Seth Stokes, Ben McKee, Jason Swain. Hour 2 coming up. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.